I think that the fear issue, or the whole fear culture that Monsanto was able to establish, like on the northern plains of the U.S. and the prairies of Western Canada, was something that people didn't really realize that could happen in a free country, or free countries. And in our case, we never thought that this could happen to us. And I'll give you examples, is that they would park on the field, alongside our fields, on the road, alongside our fields for days at a time. They would watch us from morning to night what we were doing. And when we came out of the field to see what was going on, they would take off. But eventually we were able to get license numbers and to find out who these people were. They would even come into our driveway where we lived and sometimes park there for hours. And when my wife would come out of the house, well, they would take off. Or they would park on the road across from our driveway. But they could see our house quite easily. And sometimes for 3 days at a time, be parked there. They'd go away in the evening, come back in the morning, and watch us. A lot of times when my wife would come out, they would take off. Mm-hmm. And then phone calls. Better watch it. They're going to get you. Things like that. And I think one of the worst things that that happened was that I was speaking at Parliament in Cape Town in South Africa. And I had given a presentation there. And Monsanto had heard that I was speaking there, and they flew up a person by the name of Wally Green from Johannesburg, one of their representatives in South Africa. And he also demanded from Parliament that he could speak. And they gave him, I think, approximately 5 minutes. And in my opinion, he basically bombed out. He said there was no such thing as cross-pollination. There was no such thing as seeds that can blow in the wind. And he got laughed at in Parliament. The African members laughed at him because they knew better. They knew there was such a thing as pollination, cross-pollination, direct seed movement. And coming out of the assembly, we ran face-to-face into each other. And my wife was with me at that time in South Africa. And he shook his fist in my face and he said, "Nobody stands up to Monsanto. We're going to get you and we're going to destroy you. And when you get back to Canada, you're going to be in bigger trouble." I thought, my goodness, what bigger trouble could I be in that I'm not already in? And my wife got so excited when she heard this threat from Monsanto's rep, she fell down the steps and broke her shoulder in South Africa. So when we got back to Canada, sure enough, Monsanto laid another lawsuit against us, which a lot of people don't even know about. It was a lawsuit for $1 million because they said I was arrogant, because I was stubborn, and I wouldn't do what Monsanto said. So they now wanted all their disbursements costs, all their legal costs, a fine. And they said, well, that was not even the fine, but just disbursement costs and legal costs for $1 million. So back to court again on another lawsuit from Monsanto against me for $1 million, which took over a year. I don't know how many thousands of dollars that cost me. And in the end, the judge ruled, and it was the same judge that ruled at my original trial, because he had that privilege to rule. So after a year and I don't know how many days of trial, that same judge awarded Monsanto $153,000 court costs against me for their costs. Now, it was very unusual, some of the things they had asked in their court costs. They asked $750,000 for their lawyer fees up to that time, $250,000 or $250,000 for disbursement costs. Now, it was very unusual what they had included in some of those costs. First of all, they had said, to give you an example, they wanted $1,100 for a digital camera they said they used in court. You can't use a camera in court in Canada, and there was never a camera used. Then they had a $1,500 item for night entertainment for their lawyers while they were at the trial. So I often question what kind of entertainment that was. But those are some of the things that, how they tried to stop us, not only through harassment and intimidation. But then how they tried to stop us financially, because after that, we did not have to pay Monsanto anything, the court ruled, until the last avenue of appeal is exhausted. What did Monsanto do? They put a lien and a caveat against all our property, our land, our house, that we couldn't borrow any more money to fight them. So they tried to break us down mentally, and they tried to break us down financially. And at that point in time, then I went to the world community and said, look, I'm prepared to carry on, but I cannot do it financially anymore because all my assets are now tied up. Because we had mortgaged some of our land to pay our legal fees up to that time, which were probably close to $300,000. So that's how they control farmers. Farmers that stood up for me in court or testified on my behalf, believe me, got a letter from Monsanto. One farmer got a letter from Monsanto who they accused of having land in canola, and they wanted so many thousands of dollars from him. The land wasn't even ceded to canola, but it's just a means of intimidation and harassment. He didn't even have it planted, that land that he accused me, even planted. But he had testified on my behalf. And he caught them in his canola field, another canola field. And he said, you're trespassing, you're stealing, what are you doing here? Get out. And they laughed at him. And they said, and he said, well, I'm going to take you to court. He said, go right ahead. If you do, you won't have a farm left. So they told my neighbors, if you support Percy Schmeiser, excuse me, we're going to come after you and you won't have a farm left. So that whole fear they put into people. And I'm not alone. Many farmers that came after.